Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. We are here continuing our Let's Watch Star Trek Next Generation. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we're going through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation and giving our thoughts and feelings about every single one. So at this point, we're up to episode 7 of season 2. It's called Unnatural Selection. This aired way back on January 30th, 1989. It was directed by Paul Lynch, written by John Mason and Mike Gray. In this one, this episode is the one where the Enterprise encounters a Starfleet supply ship where everyone has died from rapid aging. They must find the cause before scientists on a research colony suffer the same fate. Modi Operandis is going to return to talk about this one with us. I'm sure we've got a lot to talk about in Dr. Catherine Pulaski's breakout episode of the second season. So right after this break, we will get to Modi.
Captain's log, stardate 42494.8. The Enterprise is bound for Star Station India to rendezvous with a Starfleet medical courier. We've been told only that our presence is imperative. Hopefully, the mission will give me further opportunities to assess the performance of our new chief medical officer.
Hey, everybody. We're back. Unnatural Selection. So I am sitting here with Modi Operandis. Modi, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine.
Good. Good to have you back. I think we'll make up for our previous episode, which is Elementary Dear Data, where I'm not sure I at least didn't have much to say about that one.
Yeah. I got some stuff to say about this one for sure.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to talk about with this one. But I do want to just start off with a little bit of a story here. Story time.
Okay.
So right. I'm alone this weekend just because my wife is away. And I was watching this one late last night. And, you know, it's the apartment building's kind of quiet. Everything's quiet. I'm watching this show. And the lights are off. And when they fired that photon torpedo to scuttle the other ship, I nearly shit my pants with how scary that noise was for some reason. Why was that noise so sudden? Oh, did you notice that?
I didn't notice it.
And I watched it again, and I was prepared for it, and I felt like the sound mix or something when they fire the torpedo at the end is just like absurdly loud compared to everything else that's going on. Just
wow.
a minor
did not notice that.
I need to get the sound mixing better. So
maybe.
This is a Pulaski episode, right?
I guess so. Yeah, if you want to call it that, it's a Pulaski episode for sure.
It's the first episode that's really focused on her as a character, which is strange in that the episode before this, the Schizoid Man, they actively took her out of the story for some reason.
Huh. Really?
Yeah, she's got replaced by that Dr. Salar, the Vulcan, for no particular reason.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So this is a Pulaski show, for better or for worse.
The Pulaski show.
Yes. And,
don't want to watch that one.
There's two major theme things that I thought about this one, or not theme, but sort of like ideas to go along with it. The first one's the Pulaski episode, which we'll get into. And the second one is that I thought that for how like a next gen this episode kind of felt, the focus on what they chose to be like the central idea was a very old original series sort of focus or first season Star Trek.
Sure.
This is a next generation episode where there's genetic engineering and it is not the central idea or conflict.
That's true. That's true.
And I guess I was reading it later. This is the only next gen episode where genetic engineering is legal in Starfleet. I guess they make it illegal after this.
I read that after the fact too.
Yeah, which is
so weird.
It is, and it makes more sense in terms of the universe of the show. But it felt really tacked on here because, you know, the focus is on this illness that people are getting and this aging disease, and they're being brought into, you know, they're in this genetic engineering lab, and people are sort of appalled by genetic or at least they're surprised by it, but no one is like, this is a bad idea, maybe you shouldn't be doing this.
Nobody considered that for a fact. And they're also, like, shocked that something could go wrong, also.
Yes.
they're like, no, of course something could go wrong. You're messing with genetics. Like, yeah, you're going to have some mistakes here.
Yes. And
something's going to happen. Oh, gosh, this episode.
It's a bit of a strange one. So, I mean, I'm kind of torn about what I think about this one. I don't think it's particularly bad.
No.
In that, you know, I thought that the script was pretty strong in general. The payoff kind of makes sense, even though it's techno babble. They fix the
problem. A lot of techno babble. Yeah, a lot of babble.
And I think the biggest problem was really Pulaski. So we'll save Pulaski for like the big thought about this one. But
it'll be a big chunk of this, I'm sure.
I wanted to. This is the some minor points that this is the first time O'Brien is given a name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
I guess so.
And we still don't know his first name, which is Miles, but we do know that he is O'Brien. And he earned his paycheck with the amount of technobabble nonsense he had to
recite. Right? Yeah, he did the work, man. I'll give him credit on that.
He's part of
I was thinking that I'm watching DS9 right now, and he, like, really improves as an actor.
Yep.
But, like, right here, he got put through the paces as far as, like, the garbage he had to read as far as the technobabble goes.
And I watched this one twice. I watched it last night, and, you know, the first time, when you haven't seen the show in a while, you sort of gloss over the technobabble. You don't really, you get the idea of what they're talking about rather than the specifics.
Which is the point of it, I think.
It is, yes. Just say enough nonsense quickly enough where people just sort of get the general idea.
And if enough people in the room agree with what the person is saying, then it makes sense.
Yeah. And, I watched it this morning again in prep for this, and it's just gobbledygook. Like, none of it.
I wish I could find his thing about the transporter and why it's a problem to do what he wants to do.
The line,
I wish I could find that right now.
And when he's...
great line.
When Picard is asking him towards the end, he's like, can you fix it? Patrick Stewart has this look on his... on his face as O'Brien is explaining what he's going to do. It's just like, this does not make any goddamn sense to me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they loved that in that scene.
Yeah, just remembering these things. But yeah, it's a big O'Brien. He gets his first like conference room meeting. He's involved in a conference meeting, which is nice. He gets a name. He's going to be a recurring character. And, you know, the second scene is in this sort of trying to expand the cast a little bit, like these minor guest stars. With Dr. Solar in the previous episode and O'Brien in this one. What was your general thoughts about this show?
I kind of felt similarly. I don't know if this episode was good or bad. I don't think I liked it. I guess I'll go off of that when I do my final score here, is that how much I liked the episode. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
I can't expose the Enterprise until I know where this disease came from and how it is transmitted.
I realize that, Captain. Naturally, we'll establish a force field containment.
But if we lose the force field for any reason, we lose the ship. Force fields can fail, and until...
We don't have that kind of time. Now, these children can't survive in the lab once their parents are dead. Look at him, Captain. He's a human being who needs our help.
But the risk is...
minimal.
If you can demonstrate that he is biologically harmless without risk to the crew, I'll do everything in my power to assist. And, Doctor, God knows I'm not one to discourage input, but I would appreciate it if you'd let me finish my sentences once in a while.
It's a strange one. The technobabble got me with O'Brien there. I kind of liked the pushback Pulaski was giving Picard at first, but then I was annoyed by it a little later. Like, almost, like, instantaneously it shifted from being like, oh, she's standing up to him. It's like, oh, she's really, really annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, so he's just going to ship her off to this transporter and be rid of her, probably. Like, I was thinking, like, in that scene where he's, like, deciding, like, oh, should I let her go, do her thing? It's like, it's a win-win. Either she gets killed by the virus, or you save the day. So,
yeah,
you know, there's no downside here. Just send her to the transport ship.
That's why Picard is like, I'll take the transporter controls at the end. It wasn't a spare.
I want to do it. Yeah.
It wasn't a spare right. O'Brien. He was trying to sabotage the whole thing to not have her back.
Right.
It's, Yeah, and I thought that...
No, she's fine. Nope, she's not. She's not. I gotta send her back into space.
She's coming. Where they do the transport thing where they fade in and out. So, like, that's the drama of whether it's working or not. I also...
Well, Picard shifts halfway through it, where it seems like he's annoyed by her, but then he finds out that she's a big fan of his, and then he kind of shifts his, like, attitude towards her altogether here.
Yeah.
Just because she's interested in him.
Yeah, that's true. It, they never really resolve that. They just it is no. just kind of working in the background about them sort of mutually respecting each other, even yeah. though they, when they're together, disrespect each other constantly.
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't resolve the interpersonal conflict they'll have there still, but
right.
whatever.
And they don't even discuss it, really, face-to-face. You know, they just, they act
well, they hug at the end.
Oh, that's true. I thought that hug was, it felt wrong to me.
It's, I don't know. It was odd, because it doesn't seem like Picard's a hugger.
No.
For the most part, it seemed odd.
And Pulaski doesn't seem like, I would have thought like an awkward handshake, you know, would have been more in character.
It would have been too comedic, though, to do that, probably.
That's true, yeah.
But it makes more sense as the characters to do that.
Hmm. It's something. I also thought that the overall tone here was, I didn't think it was bad, but I thought it was really unique. This is the first time, they've really shown sort of sorrow at people dying, which I noticed and was strange. Like when whatever that ship is called, the Lantry, when they find
Lantry,
that.
Lantry, yeah.
Everyone seems genuinely affected by the crew dying, which in previous yeah. episodes has always been treated as sort of like a mystery.
Right.
And I'm not saying it was bad. I kind of appreciated it, but it's a definite change in how they're trying to get the tone of the show and how like crews would react to these things.
They act more appropriately here probably than they would in previous episodes where they just kind of like are all business about it and
right.
and interested in the mystery.
Yeah,
being beat up about an entire ship being destroyed would have, you know, some implications on your psyche as far as your own situation in the world, I think.
Right, exactly.
So yeah,
I think the writing is definitely improving. I'm kind of with you. I wouldn't be like...
It's not a bad episode.
No, but if
I was... The writing's fairly okay, but...
If I was scrolling through it, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'll watch Unnatural Selection. But, like, having watched it, I'm just like, yeah, that's... You know, that's... I feel like I'm saying this about every single season 2 episode that's coming through. It's like, these are good. I probably wouldn't watch them, but they're definitely improving. And the... I noticed the writing, more than anything, is becoming... You know, the acts sort of flow into each other, and the resolution makes sense by the end of it.
It's
not like a rush job.
That's true.
To get to the end of it.
More skilled writing, basically, just crafting a narrative.
Yeah. Right, and the problems are sort of the character issues that they're not seeming able to fix, or at least they're stuck in this kind of process about what's going on with how these characters would interact with each other. But I feel like Data's improving. Picard is becoming okay. So I just had one other, before we get into the meat of the thing with Pulaski, this had, to kick off the Pulaski thing, this episode has one of my sort of pet peeves about season 1 is now, carrying into season 2 with this problem that they can't seem to get rid of. It's the fact that the crew sometimes seems like complete idiots in the face of whatever problem is coming around. The Chief O'Brien conference scene that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I believe that conference scene came after an act break. So they're kind of trying to remind, you know, after a commercial, remind the audience of what's going on, but they are bringing up things that are so patently ridiculous. Like Troy goes, so everyone's sick and Troy's like, can't we just beam them over and cure the sickness? And O'Brien goes, we've already tried that twice and it didn't work. And it's like, right. Has anyone been paying attention?
Can I catch the audience up here? Yeah.
And then Geordi goes, we need to figure out a way to isolate the disease. And Picard goes, yes, but we can't do that. And it's like,
we don't know how the disease is, so we can't do that. Right. Exactly. It's like recapping the episode. It's you had to take those TV, like, establishment moments away from it as just a necessary evil, pretty much.
You do. But, it seems ridiculous when you watch them streaming without the act breaks, but it ties into the thing of, okay, so we can sort of get into Pulaski here, because Pulaski acts like a moron through this entire show, and I think it does a huge disservice to the character.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. She doesn't seem like... He's proclaimed to be this brilliant scientist and brilliant medical officer to everyone, but then at the same time performs like an idiot generally the entire episode until the very end when she's actually talking on the Darwin station and like her life's on the line. That's when she finally pulls it together.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like... I'm starting to get a little bit of pushback from people on the subreddit and also people who help me do these episodes sometimes, not pushback, but I think people are starting to sort of, I'm starting to get a little bit of feedback about that Pulaski isn't that bad.
Okay.
And I really disagree with that. And I just want, I want to clarify my position about Pulaski. Pulaski,
go for it.
The Pulaski character is fine in and of itself. Like, if you wanted to have this character exist in a show, there's nothing particularly wrong with the character in and of itself. The problem here is that you have to look at this show in and of the universe of its show. You have the Next Generation, for better or worse, everyone on the crew is sort of a kumbaya thing. It's a common criticism of the show that, like, people all get along and they all work together. The issue here is that Pulaski does not fit that mold, and that's fine if the show was not that tone. The show is that tone, and sticking her in makes no sense, and therefore it makes her character weird, and it makes it awkward for her to be involved in these other situations with these other crew members. You know, she just doesn't fit the sensibility of what the show is trying to do. And it's getting to be awkward at this point, because in this episode, she continues her sort of weird fascination with not accepting Data when he's only being nice to her. And she's also, she claims to respect Picard, and that's why she requested to be transferred to the Enterprise.
But then doesn't do that at all in her time.
No, and even on her first In the Child episode, when she beams over, she doesn't report to him. You know, it's like, you're not, you obviously don't respect the captain. And
maybe she's trying to be aloof to try to seem like she's more interesting to him, kind of thing. Yeah, like, she doesn't want to, like, just be all the fangirl about Picard.
She's playing hard
to get. So she's trying to play cool, yeah.
It's just, I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with this character. I think she's horribly miscast.
I think that's what it comes down to. I think the character, you know, like you say, of, you know, being against the mold of everyone gets along kind of thing and somebody that's going to be a little more abrasive and push back is a fine character, but I think the actress's choices here, make it so it's, I don't know how to say this, but it's more about that than it is the, I mean, like, you take, like, we've talked about this before, but this is kind of the same model as Bones from the original series.
Yep.
Of, you know, McCoy was always kind of very, very cut and dry and very, very by the book. And it's like, but she's, and he would go against the captain when he needed to and that kind of thing. But the acting choices here kind of don't do it well enough, I think, is the idea.
No, she comes across as, where Bones is always sort of arguing for the minority in some sense. He's always kind of in the face of logic of, you know, if you have to kill three people to save one person, Spock would be in favor of, or the other way around, sorry, killing one person to save three. Spock would be in favor of doing that to save the three for the, you know, the, whatever that line is.
And McCoy would be the opposite,
McCoy would argue in favor kind of saving everybody or not killing one person. Pulaski is, they're writing her to try to take that line, but it's coming off as more selfish than anything.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Everyone in this episode is against bringing what is obviously the cause of the disease onto the ship.
A terrible idea, basically. Just bring that on the ship right away.
And
go ahead, Pulaski.
She is pro this. For no particular reason. It's like,
well, she wants to save everyone. Same kind of thing as McCoy, where she would want to save everyone here, but she's just not, like, you have to defer to the captain's judgment. You're putting an entire ship at risk. He's going to do what's best for his ship.
Right.
She sees that as he doesn't care about people.
Right, which is absurd.
You don't care about the same people as much is what it basically comes down to, is that Picard cares about the ship more than he does the Darwin station, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just such a flawed idea, and she brings these people on board. She obviously gets sick. It's like,
goes
back down and figures it out. And I was reading a little bit of follow-up stuff here. I think it's true, which is another interesting thing they've done with Pulaski is Pulaski is either right from the get-go or she never is correct. And she never figures anything out in all of her shows.
No.
She either knows the answer or is completely clueless. And in this one, she doesn't even figure out the answer because the Enterprise does with the transporter business.
Yeah, sure. They figure out the solution, but she did figure out the cause of it, which was another stupid moment that the geneticist at the Darwin station, she just asked questions. And they figure out what the problem was.
Yeah.
Like, they would have done that already. They would have ruled this stuff out, but she's, like, the captain or whatever at the Darwin station, the chief officer there, was convinced that it can't be the crazy abomination genetic people they're making.
Why?
So she says that it can't possibly be them, because they have no immunities. Or they have immunity to everything, and, like, then she explained that, oh, well, they actually send out an external thing that alters the genetics of the disease that's around them. And you never put that together? That's what's going on here?
I know.
Like,
that's come on. I thought it seemed like that would have been the line where the person's explaining it and then tails off as they realize, like, while they're saying it, like, oh, my
yeah.
God. But
yeah.
What's the advantage?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
What's the advantage of creating an immunity system that randomly attacks diseases outside of you?
Right.
Is there any...
It would be attacking... everything and everyone. Like, you can have more than one of those, like, genetic
right.
people in the same room with each other, because their antibodies would attack each other.
Yeah, they'd. I mean, if you had, like, an operating room, you could bring them in, they'd just sterilize the entire room by just
yep.
standing in
yep.
there.
Everything would just die then, too.
There was a lot with the genetic stuff I didn't understand. Like, why make them telepathic? That didn't pay off.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really, like, I don't know if they're arguing for, like, that humans have these capabilities that are drawn out through evolution kind of thing.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah. That's what they're trying to go with it, maybe? I don't know.
Why make them look like they're 25 when they're 12? I don't understand.
When they're 12 years old? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And then
I read in the wiki that there was originally supposed to be nude the entire time, too.
Oh, really?
Which would have been a different conversation, too, here.
That's classy.
Yeah.
And they kept them very, it reminded me very much of Species, that movie, where they keep them in sort of like a bubble. Like, they're
right.
totally enslaved
yeah.
to being just genetically engineered, or, as the scientist says, genetically created, which I didn't understand what the fucking difference was there, why she would
right.
say that.
Well, yeah, they made a distinction that they were created. Like, no, but, yeah.
You genetically engineered them, right, to create them? This is not...
Exactly. It's kind of apples... Yeah, apples...
apples and oranges.
Tomato is what I'm trying to think of there,
oh,
yeah.
Right, yeah. It's just... It's interesting. It's, Yeah, I don't think Pulaski, that's my main thing about Pulaski. It's like, I can understand people appreciating her sort of, you know, anti-authority difficultness, which I think she'd almost work on Deep Space Nine in terms of that show.
Yeah.
She doesn't work.
But there, she wouldn't even fit in there, because here it feels like she's going out of her way to be combative about stuff.
Yes.
Like, it's not even just necessarily standing up for what she believes in. The fact that she goes after Data, like, constantly about every little thing she can, tells me that she's the kind of person that is going to be looking for a fight rather than just fighting when it's necessary.
Right, yeah. I agree with that. I think that's a big flaw. It's not just that she... Because her cause here, like we mentioned before, is just wrong. Like, she's clearly wrong about what she's trying to do. And she's endangering the ship. She's endangering herself. And it's just not, it's not written properly to sort of make her actions make sense. She comes across as being dim-witted. Everyone in this show comes across as kind of being a little bit stupid, except for maybe Picard.
Yeah.
It's just,
so does this episode redeem her at all for you?
No.
No?
Well, let's see. This episode deepens her character, which is always good for everybody. It does it in a flawed way. And I also was thinking as I was watching it, they're changing her to not be that different from Crusher. Like,
true.
I could see this episode being exactly the same if you replaced Pulaski with Crusher. Because
that's a very good point.
As we've seen in Symbiosis, Crusher occasionally will serve that part of the story where she's like the moral center to something.
Mm-hmm. And she's willing to also stand up to Picard when necessary, but the difference there is that she isn't established as someone who's going out and looking for a fight.
Right.
And purposely referring to Data as Data.
Right.
Because she actually does say Data in this episode. She says Data in her normal speech.
Yep.
So she would have said Data no matter what. Nobody just switches between Data and Data.
She's just doing it just to be a dick.
She just did it to mess with them.
There should be a subreddit, like animals being jerks. They should just be Pulaski being jerks.
Pulaski being a jerk, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that... You know, in Symbiosis, it was done much better because Crusher actually had an ethical argument to stand on. You know, like, we should right. help these drug addicts. And Picard's stance is, that's against the Prime Directive. We can't do that.
Yeah.
Here, they abandon that. Pulaski is kind of doing that role, but her character is so obnoxious and unnecessarily difficult that it just doesn't come across correctly.
Yeah. And plus, in the drug addict Symbiosis episode, that I mean, they are victims that she's trying to help, and these people are causes of their own misery here.
Yes,
they brought this on themselves by doing their genetic research, so it's a little bit different too.
That's
Picard
true.
Didn't know that at the time; he's just looking for the best interest of the ship. But the way it came around, it's like they got what they were what was coming to them,
yep.
kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah. And the what the hell's her name? The doctor on the planet. I can't see her name. I can't find her. But she's not.
Oh,
even
it was Kingsley.
Kingsley. She's not even particularly likable. You know,
no.
she's like,
she's abrasive too.
Yeah.
She and Pulaski like are like, she like knows about Pulaski. She's like, oh man, you should be here. I wish you were here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you guys should be together.
You wrote that
book.
That
would go really well, I think.
You wrote that book about viruses, and which I thought was interesting. Like, you know, if I was to sort of fix the Pulaski character, I think you could make the argument that maybe she's a better researcher than she is a doctor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she'd be...
Yeah, she doesn't have any bedside manner kind of thing.
Right.
Like, she's all science. But then she's not all science because she hates Data.
That's...
So I don't know.
That's true. She said, when he scans her or whatever, when she's in the shuttlecraft and he's like, you're all right. She's am I perfectly mechanically functioning? It's like, fuck off.
I'm operating within acceptable parameters.
He's just trying to be helpful. He's helping
you
out.
Why are you messing with him? You can talk to him like a person. Just treat him like a person. It'll go easier for you. You'll be more likable to everybody else. By treating him as inhuman, you seem more inhuman yourself, ma'am.
Yeah. Gee, I don't know. And just...
Yeah.
It's a strange sort of... Just a lot going into it. And it was also sort of weird at the end. They tried to somehow turn it into an evolutionary story, which is why they called it the Darwin Lab.
Yes.
And
I was annoyed by that from the start.
I didn't understand
it was called the Darwin Lab.
What they were talking about when they're like we found that humans, that people can evolve because of their environment and also the other way around. It's like, well,
okay, what they mean by that, I guess, is that so the evolutionary natural selection thing basically means that the humans would have been able to overtake the Neanderthals and the Cro-Magnons, and that's how the humans became the dominant, by able to destroy their predecessors kind of thing.
Yep.
So they created a being that's able to destroy its predecessors, basically.
Chief, medical officer's log. This will be my final report to the Enterprise. Just as changes in evolution are known to be caused by changes in the environment, we now know the process also works in reverse. An attempt to control human evolution has resulted in a new species that's lethal to its predecessors. The children will be condemned to live out their lives in isolation. The quarantine of the Darwin Station must be maintained forever.
I guess it's another case of tomato, because it's like, this is exactly the same thing. You've caused it yourself.
Right.
It's no different.
It's not unnatural selection. It is natural selection. You got there maybe by genetic means, but it kind of ends up exactly the same way.
Yeah. It's still unnatural selection. Yeah. I felt like they had come up with the title and then they're like, end.
You can see it. Yeah. I agree that I hate when they have a title and they work backwards.
Yeah. Cause they are not concerned with evolution until the last 5 minutes of the show. And then Pulaski is just,
oh, this
all
will sound really
it.
Cool. It's a title episode.
Yep.
Great.
Get some Darwin out there. And then they
call it Darwin Station because it's written by Ryder, so they want to have everything fit neatly into a little bundle and have everything not have to think about it much.
No.
It's an episode about evolution. Let's call the genetic station the Darwin Station.
I mean,
it kind of makes sense that they would, but it doesn't make sense to me.
It's true. It's It's the fine line between good writing and bad writing. You know, I consider it, it's a good attempt. It's a little bit too on the nose, kind of, but yeah. At least they're trying to connect the dots. Like, you know, if this was the first season, they would never have mentioned whatever that Florian flu or whatever.
True.
You know, if this was the first season, they wouldn't have mentioned that until the very end, where the researcher would have been like, you know, one of those guys came from that other ship and he had a disease. At least in this one, they mention it early and it lays the, you know,
that's true.
It's better scripting to lay the groundwork like that and then have it come back and be like, yeah. Oh, that's why we brought it up.
It still doesn't make sense that the genetic researchers wouldn't have thought of something genetic causing the problem here, though. Like,
no.
That
they're terrible scientists.
You guys made them, you designed them to change the genetic code of antibodies and viruses, and then you don't think that's at all a problem for you guys. Yeah, this episode.
I saw it a little bit better just because maybe I didn't like the Schizoid Man as much. I like this one a little bit better.
I didn't watch that one. I skipped over it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's so I mean, I give this one, I give it 3 out of 5. It's certainly not great. It's certainly not yeah. terrible. It's definitely hitting that second season sweet spot of, you know, for lack of a better word, sweet spot in terms of just like it's settling into itself and it's just a few things that are holding it back from really being okay.
Yeah. I mean, the way the TV shows, like big ensemble casts like this, shows go like Lost and that kind of thing, is they do a few like big establishing episodes at the beginning of the season, and then they get into like more character based episodes after that.
Yeah.
Where it's all just kind of, they can be take them or leave them. They get the staff writing to come in and do it, and the creators of the show come in to, you know, do the last couple episodes of the finales and that kind of thing.
Yes. Yep.
But it only works if you like the characters that it's about. Right. So I don't think it works for me is the problem. I'm gonna give this one a 2, I think, on for me personally. I would skip it myself even if I was rewatching the series.
Yeah,
so.
I can't disagree. I sort of waver between these two for a lot of these, and it really the deciding factor whether it's a 2 or 3 is really just like that sort of personal gut feeling I get after I'm done with it. I'll give this one a 3, I think. So Modi gives it a 2, I give it a 3. And all everybody who's coming at me about Pulaski, you can step off. Anyone's entitled to think obviously whatever they like about Pulaski. I can't come up with an argument that would make sense for me as to why this character works on this show. I just don't think she does.
With a different actress, it might be better.
I think it's 100% the actress. She's just too cold and too weird for what the for all the sort of, you know, all the bad actions that this character sort of takes, or selfish actions, you need someone who is eminently likable and
right,
sort of affable and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the difference between this and McCoy, is that DeForest Kelly is ultimately more charming
right.
than she is.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
That's true. 100%. So, we won't do any TV critics. The general sort of TV criticism was that people liked it a lot less than I did. I think they were more in line with you. Tor.com gave it a 4 out of 10. I think AV Club gave it a C-. AV Club had big problems with Pulaski, and Tor just thought that it was a sort of too much of a ripoff of the original series. And I don't think I realized this, but McCoy also has a transporter phobia. Just like,
oh, really?
Just like that's, Pulaski does.
They way too crib, way too much, yeah.
Yeah, they really just copy.
That's way too much cribbing from the original series, then. Do something different, guys. Come on.
So that's it for this episode. I appreciate it just for allowing me to use the word scuttle when they blow up the ship. You don't always get to use the word scuttle.
Well used.
And one last thing. I always think it's funny in these shows where, you know, they come across a starship that's derelict and everyone on it is dead. And Pulaski goes, they died of natural causes. And everyone is more shocked by that than the fact that everyone is ancient and dead on this starship.
Right, no, I can clearly see something bad happened here, though. That's not natural. They didn't just, all of a sudden, it wasn't the geriatric starship here when it left.
The retirement crew, the Lantry, headed off to retirement God. House. But it's a strange one. So, yeah, 3 out of 5 for me. And not much else to say about this. It's a Pulaski-focused episode that I really think sort of misses the mark, even though I feel that the show is developing itself. This This one really felt like Next Generation in terms of how the plot sort of mechanized around itself. Yeah, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I think this was, like I said, a two, but I think it did, in some way, even if I don't like Pulaski anymore here, it did somehow help her a little bit. As far as in my mind, I can kind of understand her a little bit better.
Yep.
I still don't like her, though.
No.
At the end of the day, I still don't like her.
Boo Earns. I was saying Boo Earns.
So yep.
That's it. So you guys can follow Modi on YouTube. I'll put a link to his channel below in the YouTube description. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy the content and you're listening on YouTube, a like and a comment would be appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a review and a rating, always appreciated. Helping us shoot up right through these rankings. And I will be back with A Matter of Honor, which I remember being good. It has that awesome scene where Riker kicks the shit out of the Klingon on the enemy ship, which is
that's always fun.
Which is always excellent. So, Modi, thank you again for joining me.
Thank you.
And I will see you guys next time.